from KTOO, I'm Katie Anastas with a look at local and statewide news. Alaska State Troopers on Wednesday recovered the bodies of two of the five victims of last Sunday's charter boat sinking in Sitka. One passenger and the boat's captain have yet to be found. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The victims identified by troopers on Wednesday evening are 53-year-old Danielle Akawili and her sister, 56-year-old Brandy Chow. Their bodies have been sent to the state medical examiner's office in Anchorage to confirm their identities. The body of Danielle Akawili's husband, 57-year-old Maury Akawili, was recovered on Monday offshore of Low Island, not far from the partially submerged charter fishing vessel in which the group had been traveling. A fourth passenger, 61-year-old Robert Solis, as well as the boat's captain, 32-year-old Morgan Robidoux of Sitka, have not been found despite an extensive search on Monday that covered over 800 square miles. Solis and Tiao were visiting Sitka together from California. The Akawilis were visiting from Waipahu, a community on the island of Oahu. Large swell and heavy surf on the shore of Low Island have impaired efforts to salvage the 30-foot aluminum charter vessel. Sitka-based Hanson Maritime is leading recovery efforts. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Further details were released yesterday evening about the 2017 killing of Eric Garcia, a prominent Ketchikan surgeon. The surgeon's romantic partner was convicted of murder on Thursday in Anchorage. And as KRBD's Reagan Miller reports, the new information pieces together a timeline of what happened.
58-year-old Eric Garcia had been in a romantic relationship with his convicted killer, Jordan Joplin, for 6 years. On March 15th of 2017, Joplin came to Ketchikan from his Washington home for what he called a visit. But new information from the state's Department of Law says he also made arrangements for 3 large shipping containers to be sent to Garcia's address. He loaded the containers with more than 4,000 pounds of Garcia's expensive personal collections. Garcia was known to have a large array of coins, watches, jewelry, and pricey liquor worth thousands of dollars. Ketchikan police say that much of it was missing from Garcia's house in the days after his death. The statement says Joplin had sent the items to his own address back in Washington. Police would also find Garcia's phone and wallet in Joplin's home. Police also tracked electronic bank transfers from the surgeon's accounts to Joplin, totaling more than $30,000. New details also emerged about the day that Joplin called Ketchikan police asking for a welfare check on Garcia. That was 10 days after Joplin had left town. He told officers that Garcia was due to visit him in Washington, but he hadn't heard from him. Joplin traveled back to Ketchikan, where he drove Garcia's own truck to the surgeon's house to let police in with keys he had. While searching Joplin's cell phone, police found a video of Garcia unconscious in the same position and clothes that he was in when he was found dead. A toxicology screening confirmed Garcia died of a morphine overdose. He also had lorazepam, diazepam, and methadone in his system. Joplin was convicted of first and second degree murder and first degree theft. According to the Department of Law, Joplin is facing a sentence between 30 and 101 years. He's scheduled to be sentenced in early October. In Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
Juno writer Vera Starbird recently hung banners in support of the nationwide writer strike from the deck of her Douglas home. Starbird is a member of the Writers Guild of America Union and has written for the PBS Kids show Molly of Denali and the recently canceled ABC drama Alaska Daily. KTOO's Chloe Plesnack spoke with her about the banners and what she and the writers picketing in Los Angeles and New York City hope to achieve.
I'm watching all my friends, coworkers, colleagues in New York and LA, and even some other locations like New Mexico and Atlanta, picketing, really sort of literally shutting down productions, which is the fastest way to sort of make the studios willing to make any sort of negotiations with us, really. And I was feeling very like, I can't do my part. I'm up here, there's no, you know, studios or anything shooting up here, and you know, but we do have, you know, 1.5 million cruise ship passengers passing by my house, which just happens to be on their route into the docks. So let's let them know, like, let's sort of raise awareness for all these people who are coming up here that for one, I've always found Alaska to be extremely supportive of my writing and other writers and artists in general, and especially Juno, but also get them aware. Maybe it's just cryptic enough on the WJ Strong that they might look it up and see what that's all about.
So what do you hope this strike achieves?
Ultimately, all we want is fair pay, fair benefits, and the ability to have a career out of this. Right now, what writers are facing is you might do one show, work for 10 weeks, and that might be your whole career. It's very, very difficult in the best of circumstances to make a living as a TV writer or just a creative writer in general. But what's happening with the studios right now is they're shortening the hours. They're implementing policies and processes that are pushing newer writers out, pushing diverse writers out, to be honest. I don't believe I would be where I am if the door hadn't opened just a little bit wider for me to get in by an awful lot of people who'd come before me sort of opening that door. And what the studios are trying to do in not being willing to negotiate on fair pay is shutting that door right back again. And it makes me pretty worried for the future of Native writers being able to enter the industry at all, much less make a living at it.
So Hollywood can feel very far away from Alaska, but are there ways Alaskans could be affected by the strike that we might not expect?
Yeah, I think what viewers will definitely notice, what sort of the most typical consumers, of which I'm one, is you'll start to see delays for shows that are coming out. But up here, I think what people will really see is there's just a loss of authenticity if you don't have people who are really from Alaska, who really know what they're talking about, writing on these shows. And there are Alaskans writing on these shows about Alaska. Definitely not all of them, and I think we could all name the ones that clearly have no influence from actual Alaskans. But you know, there are some out there, and they'll start to see that.
So do we know how long this strike is going to go on for? Has there been any headway that's been made? I'm not sure if that's something you're privy to or able to disclose, but I'm just curious.
The WJ definitely keeps us informed. You know, it's tens of thousands of writers and only a few are on the negotiating committee. So of course we're not literally in the room, but they do keep us informed. And unfortunately, what we know is the studios are still just not even willing to talk. That's where they're at. They're the very, very fair proposals that the writers put out there, they weren't even willing to discuss or negotiate on them. They just said, we reject it and we're not going to talk about it. So right now it's in the studio's hands. They're not talking. So that means, yeah, it's probably going to be a long strike. And I think that's sort of been an expectation, is that it will be. The big thing right now is both the Directors Union and the Actors Union are up for their contract negotiations as well. So in a matter of weeks and months, there's going to be some movement from them. And they've been extremely supportive of the writers. Really, the whole sort of everyone below executive level has been very supportive of the writers, because we're all kind of in the same boat. We're all getting affected by the same low pay and unfair contracts. So I believe it'll be through at least June and July. But that's just my personal guess. And that's because of what's about to happen with the directors and actors unions, that everybody's been so supportive and ready to sort of join the fight and have been joining the fight. We've had so many actors and directors striking, picketing with us. So it's a good indication of what's about to happen, but it's also about to get kind of messy, I think.
I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me.
Yeah, no, goodness, Tish, and thanks for having me.
That was KTOO's Chloe Plesnack speaking with Juno writer Vera Starbird about her show of support for the writer's strike. And finally, a correction to a story we aired this morning about stranded marine mammals. That story directed listeners to contact Gay Sheffield in Nome, but listeners outside of Nome should call the NOAA Fisheries Alaska Marine Mammal Stranding Hotline. And that number is 877-925-7773.